Okay, just to finish quickly, finish up our discussion of Lisha. Some of the points that maybe we left a little unclear, and I think we'll have gotten to everything. I just want to discuss three things. Number one is, I think I just left this a little unclear, or maybe I went over there, so I want to make sure to clarify. First issue I want to discuss is adding more liquid on Shabbos if was already added before Shabbos. Right. That is the discussion of, let me just get the Mishnah Brura. Yeah, that comes up actually in two places in the Mishnah Brura. And I noticed in Shmir Shabbos Lechos and the other poskim, they differentiate between them. One is, we had mentioned the Mishnah Brura of Katan Samach Dalet, right? Based on the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim says, when are you allowed to add mashke to mix the chardol? Only if you already added mashke and yiva odyom. Then he says, you could also add more on Shabbos. So one is the case where, sorry, I think there are two different cases. Case A is where you added, give me a second, added liquid, doesn't have to be water, where you added liquid on Friday already, not just a few drops, but didn't fully mix it. That seems to be the case discussed in the Mishnah Brura Sivkat and Samach Dalet. This is Mishnah Brura Sivkat and Samach Dalet, and that seems to be the case discussed in, just give me a second, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Sivkatan, one second. Yeah. Yud. Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Ches Yud. There, says the Mishnah Brura, you're allowed to add more liquid on Shabbos and mix it, but how do you have to mix it? With a shinoi. What does a shinoi mean? It means that you should not whip, or you should not mix it hard, not be torch b'koach, according to the Mechaber and according to the Ramah. It's not enough. You have to use a bigger shinoi, such as mixing with your hand. So here, for Ashkenazim, need a real shinoi. Because the Ramah says, Yesh Omrim, it's not enough to just not beat it hard, you need a real shinoi. Here, when you add liquid on Shabbos, you need a real shinoi, such as biyado. Someone actually asked me today if it counts as a shinoi biyado if you wear a glove on your hand. You know, one of those latex gloves. So I saw in the Chazon Ish, he writes explicitly, no. And only if you use your bare hands. That's a real shinoi. Otherwise, not such a shinoi. The second case is based on the discussion of the Bir Halacha. Sorry, Dibur HaMaschil. Yachol La'arev. Where he says he thinks maybe the case of Chardol, according to the Rambam, is the reason why they allowed this very tiny, almost not a shinoi, of Shlo Yitro of Mekoach, is where it was really fully mixed already. You're just thinning it a little. So this is the case where it was fully mixed and made before Shabbos. Before Shabbos,
and you are just thinning it by adding liquid on Shabbos.
You know, it was really, it was a fully made product before Shabbos. You're just thinning it out by adding liquid on Shabbos, but it was fully mixed 100%. That's the case where the Bir Halacha sounds like, even for Ashkenazim, you don't have to do a real shinoi, because it's not really lisha, you're just thinning things down. It's enough to just not beat it hard. And that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes.
Is it the peanut butter case?
Yes, in, one second, in, sorry, someplace here. I just had it. Yes, in Zion.
This is the Bir Halacha. Bir Hamastil Yachol La'arim, I think I said, which becomes the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa Ched Zion.
He says, if you have something that was already mixed and made before Shabbos, then you can even mix them regular, as long as, he says someplace here, Lo Yarim Ki Benachas V'lo B'Koach.
Right, so this is, in this case, you can mix without a real Shinoi, V'Bilvad Shelo Yarim B'Koach.
And the Shmir Shabbos also explains, based on the Diukim and the Shavura, that the difference is in this case, you really are doing some lisha, because you're mixing something that wasn't fully mixed yet. Just, you don't have to worry about the stage of adding the water, because the water is already added. It's much better to add the water, even according to Rebbe. But you still need a shinoi. Over here, you're really not doing lisha at all. It was fully mixed. You're not adding to the mixing. You're just thinning it. Thinning is not really lisha at all. You just can't be torah b'koach, because that looks like the derech of melacha, because it looks bad. But here, explains the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, this is, you know, within the realm of Lisha, just no Isser of Nesinas Mayim, because if you already know Nesinas Mayim once, there's no Isser of Nesinas Mayim the second time around. However, this is really not Lisha, just looks like Lisha, if you are Toreif B'Koach. Okay, that's what. So this, I definitely did not express this clearly last time, and that's how the, that's why the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, he says a different halacha for. If you're nosing B'mashke B'chomer Yom Shmei Erev Shabbos, and you do enough to really fill it up, and you mix it a little, okay, then you can add with a real shinoi, as opposed to, if it was this Arbu Nidkul, it was all made before Shabbos. So this would be an example of, let's say you want to make oatmeal, so you put in a little water before Shabbos and more on Shabbos. You know, not just a little, but enough to really get it wet properly. Then you have to do the shinoi. But if this is the case of, for example, where the peanut, the chalva spread or peanut butter, some of the oil came out, and it's a totally made good spread. It's just a little thicker than you want, so you may put in the oil to make it a little thinner. Or, for example, if you made tchina before Shabbos, not the tchina gomit, not pure tchina that you bought. You already mixed it with water and made tchina before Shabbos. Now on Shabbos, you want to loosen the tchina a little. Then that would be the second case, as long as you're not torah v'koach, it would be okay. Again, tchina, usually people are torah v'koach, so you have to remember not to be torah v'koach. So that's a differentiation.
Do you like how as the tuna has oil in it? So it's already mixed. Like it's already mixed in the can, but when you take it out.
So the tuna with oil in it, but the oil does not stick it together well. The oil doesn't stick it together the way the other stuff. So you wouldn't say that it's really made into a paste yet. So the tuna with oil, you wouldn't say it's really made into a paste yet. So then that wouldn't fall into the second kula. Second kula is really if something's a total paste. It's totally made. You're just thinning it, either by mixing in some oil that got separated, or by just you want to thin it a little. But it was already totally made. Okay, next thing I want to discuss was the machlokas. I said here, the big essay Rabbi Ribiyat had. We had two ways of defining, or let's say this. How about cases of
which are not classic lux. Classic lux is mixing classic lush small particles and liquid. Of course, it's only usser if you mix small particles and liquid and you make some sort of paste or dough out of them. Right? If you mix small particles and liquid and make Kool-Aid, that's no problem. It's liquid. If you mix small particles and liquid, you mix, I don't know, tiny beads of glass and water. And it's just glass floating in the water. That's also not lush because it didn't come together in anything. But if you mix flour and water, or sand and water, or, you know, finely chopped up vegetables with something that'll make them stick together, you know, you actually make it into something. Now, what about cases which are not classic? And here I want to divide into three different cases. One case is, what if you mix a mashed up solid and a liquid? Right, that's guacamole. And people sometimes make for kids, like they mix milk into the banana or something, guacamole with the lemon juice, right? That's, you mix avocado and lemon juice and you make guacamole. Or sometimes you make banana with milk. So there, you're not being, remember we said, you're not being medabek halachim necessarily, but would that still be called lush? On the one hand, you're mixing things together to make a paste. On the other hand, you're not binding many particles the way you are if you do classic lush. So here, I actually printed out some things from the internet. Where did I put my papers? I found... there's this book, The Weekly Halacha Discussion, with my new stat. He actually has his column on the internet, and I was a little disappointed he didn't quote any footnotes. Other people quoted some footnotes, but none of them were very clear. It's not clear to me exactly who holds this shita. But what does he say? He says... He's discussing making avocados. So he says, oh, lush is the machlokes. Sorry, toche machlokes for Moshe Chazanish, like we mentioned. Do it with a shina, with the handle of your spoon, or your fork, and it is okay. And then he says, the lemon juice, dressing, or mayonnaise may be poured onto the mashed avocado and mixed with it. There's no question, transgressing lisha, kneading, since kneading is only prohibited and liquid is used to create a single mass from loose particles, which is not the case here. It's not loose particles. He footnotes everything. He doesn't footnote this. He takes it as a double pashat. I'm not sure which poskim he got as a Dabar Pashat from. I've seen it quoted from some achronim, but when I followed the footnotes, I couldn't actually find it. I admit, it...
Would mashed potatoes and like gravy be a similar type of thing?
Yeah, the similar issue of... mashed potatoes and gravy would be more makel, though, because since that was already cooked, remember, we had a special heter or something that was cooked until it's soft. Mm-hmm. So if mashed potatoes are cooked and soft, then that's a tavshil already... So tavshil were more makel about. So mashed potatoes, so let's just see what might be examples here. An example here might be avocado plus lemon juice equals guacamole. I don't have to do the equal. Or banana and milk. I have some vague recollection that sometimes people feed that to a kid. I have no idea. But mashed potatoes... At least they're mashed already, right? Mashed potatoes plus gravy, that is mutter because it's a tavshil, and based on the end of Siman Shinchav Aleph, we have a special heter by a tavshil. Even though it's not 100% clear to me why a tavshil should be different than an avocado, I mean, they're both like nice edible foods, and you call them both tikkun ochlim ba'alma, but b'maisa, the modern-day Svarim only apply that kula to a tavshil. Okay, I just wanted to read you for a second.
Sorry, Rebbe, where was the end of tavshil?
The last mechaber in Shinchav Aleph. I thought we discussed that. Okay, good. If I can find this, I will. Okay, fine. Forgive. Anyway, Lemaisa, he took the Dabar Pashat, that is a non-issue, but he didn't really quote Achronim, and none of the Achronim agree with him in this. Every single modern-day Sefer disagrees.
Rabbi Yehuda, if you want to look at, I think footnote 4 is like an 8-page essay about this, bringing rayas back and forth from all over the place, with, you know, really great bekiyas. Lamaisa, there is definitely a minority shita. That it's mufka. It's not even in the realm of flush. But that's not the majority shita. That's not the Shmir Shabbos. That's not the Orcha Shabbos. That's not the pretty much anyone. That's not any of the modern Asfarim, not Chazon Ish. But the accepted majority shita is that this is called lush. And for sure it's called lush if you are mixing in like avocado with lots of small pieces of onion or other things, then that's for sure lush, because you actually are being medabi kalukin. Meaning not the avocado being the solid and the lemon just being the liquid, but if you mix avocado with more solid things than itself, like diced onions and other things, then the avocado's like the paste, and the salads are being stuck together, so it's for sure a chash of lush. So how do you make guacamole on Shabbos? So, now guacamole's a blila ava. I don't think there's such thing as blila raka guacamole. I mean, maybe you could invent it, but I have never seen in my life. Have you ever seen? I don't really like guacamole anyway. There's blila raka guacamole? Okay.
The way they make them from the Shabbos is very liquidy. But
I okay, is it any good?
No.
Okay, fine. So forget that.
I think it's good.
Yeah, okay, Besedu. That's because you are on a madrega where you're not holding so much. But I think the rest of us, you know, we're more makfit on these things. So the normal guacamole is blila ava. If it's blila ava, then it's really a baya. So do you have any hatter to make guacamole? So I did a little research. The problem is not any of the sorum. I don't think Orthodox Jews have been eating guacamole for that long. And I think they still don't eat guacamole in a lot of places where people write these sorum. You know, egg salad we can talk about. You know, that's already, that goes with herring, you know, and Yatzbach Rukhani Gur Mashiach. But guacamole is a very modernish kind of thing. So I didn't see a lot, but I looked around a little on the internet, and I found two shitas about guacamole. One kula and one itza. That's the thing. Sometimes people just have a good idea. You'll tell me if this good idea works or not. Well, first of all, how do you make guacamole? So, how do you make guacamole on Shabbos? So one eitza is if you don't use lemon juice, then you have the heter of the tuna fish heter, right? Let's say you make it with avocado and mayonnaise. Then there's no stage in the sina, because the mayonnaise doesn't seep into the avocado until you stir it. Or let's say you make it with avocado and onions. What else do you put in guacamole? Anyone ever eaten or made guacamole?
Garlic.
Okay. Spices, tomatoes, all those things, you can't call them sinas mayim. They don't really blend together until you mix them. So, if you're making it without lemon juice, then it doesn't blend together until you mix it. So you have the heter of, remember, the tuna fish heter, which is that there's no stage in sinas mayim, just do the gibel v'shinoi. And Shalom al Yisrael. So, A, if you don't use lemon juice, although I'm not really sure, can you make guacamole without lemon juice, Michlal?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. I mean, you know, if there's no lemon juice, then there's no, or other liquid, I mean, obviously. If you put vinegar, it's just as bad. But I don't think there's any other liquid you put in besides lemon juice. Then there's no stage of Nesinas Mayim, and therefore, so just do gibel b'shinoi gomer, like do a real shinoi, not ma'at, not lo yitro kakoa, but shesi v'erev, you know, or biyado, something really, really weird, and then you can have a hatcher. But what if your recipe does involve lemon juice? So I saw Rabbi Mann Paskin this in his Psak for Poskin, right? His weekly halacha column. And he relied on the Shut Or L'Tzion. The Shut Or L'Tzion is a little tricky because he's Sephardi, but he assumed that you could still rely on it. And he said that you can be Mekel with a Shinoi in the Nesina and a Shinoi in the Gibel, The Ur L'Tzion, if you look in this part of the Ur L'Tzion, he doesn't explain. It's just like very quick answers. But maybe the Svara is, after all, if there's a tzad to say it's not gibel at all, then we can be more mekel. That it's not leash at all, we can be more mekel. And also, if guacamole, maybe it loses its color if you make it before Shabbos, so it's not aesthetically pleasing, so maybe we can be more mekel with like something you couldn't have done before Shabbos. L'maisa yesh mekelim, right? Based on the Shut Ur L'Tzion, and that becomes a Rayman, okay? We all know Rabbi Mann personally. You know, he's Bar Samcha. He says something's mutter, then you can rely on that. So he says that you can be Mekel with Shinoi Seder Nesina plus Shinoi Begibol, even though that's a bit of a chiddush. But given there's other Tzadim L'Hakel, that there are some people who say, minority view that says not lush at all, and that maybe it'll turn brown if you make it before Shabbos, and then people won't want to eat it, even though I think it still tastes good. Does guacamole turn brown if you make it before Shabbos?
You can, yes.
But you can mix it, and it could turn green again.
Really? Oh, the brown's only on the surface?
Brown is just like an oxidation color.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so again, okay, Yesh Mekilim to do with the double Shino. But then I saw some rug from Tells in Cleveland came up with an Einfall. Just came up with a great, not a halachic chiddush, just like a chap. He said, hold on a second. Even those who are machmer to consider it lush would say that it's only lush when you mix water with mushed up avocado. When you mix lemon juice and mushed up avocado. No one thinks it's called lush to put lemon juice on a whole fruit, right? You squeeze a lemon onto the fish. No one thinks that's lush because the lemon goes into the fish. You put, gravy on your salad and it seeps into the pieces of something. No one thinks that's lush, right? So therefore he says that if you make it the normal way, what's the normal way to make avocado? You mash to make guacamole. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I've never made guacamole, and I don't even know if I've ever eaten guacamole. Not a firm kite. I just don't like it so much. What does he say? He says that the normal way to make guacamole is you mush the avocado, and then you put in the lemon juice and you mix it. I think that's the normal way. He says, here's a chap. Don't mush the avocado first. Pour the lemon juice on the avocado, obviously in a bowl. Before you mush the avocado, cut it into chunks. Or, you first peel off before you make guacamole?
Yeah.
Or you scoop it out. So scoop out a lot of big chunks, but leave them whole, and then pour lemon juice on them. You can't call that Nesinas Mayim. If it's not even mushed, that's not Nesinas Mayim, just pouring lemon juice on top of whole pieces of fruit. He says that's obviously not lush. Even those who think it's lush because it's mashed up. And things that are mashed up already in little pieces that can be mixed with something. But he says that, and I think he's logical, that if I have, I have a banana. I don't know, if I pour, chocolate syrup onto my banana, would you say that's lush because some of it seeps in? No, it's only lush when I mash it up. So he says, therefore, he thinks if you pour the lemon juice before you mash up the avocado, there's no stage in the sinus mayim. Oh, it's still Gibol, but in Gibol, it's much like Deshinoi, even in much like Deshinoi, and that's, I never saw this Eitza anywhere else, but I think it's a clever Eitza, no? Does that work practically? I don't see why not, right? So here is an Eitza, and the Eitza is to pour the lemon juice before you mash the avocado, and therefore there's no stage of Nesinas Mayim. You can't call. You think Rebbe would really say pouring lemon juice on whole pieces of avocado is also because of Nesinas Mayim? That can't be. That can't be. On mushed avocado, maybe. Because mushed things are like a lot of little pieces. They're just mushed. But no one could say it's lush to pour lemon juice on whole pieces of things. That would be. That sounds crazy. And therefore, there's no stage of Nesinas Mayim. So then, if there's no stage of Nesinas Mayim, then you're home free. Just do the gibol, the shinoi with a real good shinoi, and I think that's a good eitza for making. I think that's a good eitza for making avocado. I only saw it in this one newsletter, not newsletter because it's
I don't think halacha is news. Halacha is chachmas haTorah. But in the newsletter from the Chicago Community Kollel, okay, sorry, I got the city wrong also. The Chicago Community Kollel newsletter says, guacamole, some people say, the minority shita, that is not lush at all, but we don't hold that way. And therefore, cut the avocado into large pieces, add the lemon juice, and then mash it with a shinoi, with a real shinoi, and you are, and you're okay. All right, I think that's a good eitzah.
And once you squeeze the lemon onto an avocado, does it lose its shem mashke? Lagabe
lashna.
Okay.
No, that's only lagabe schita. Right? It means no problem with schita, because you're squeezing out the avocado. And even though it doesn't immediately get absorbed with the avocado, which is why we're making it in lush, because when you squeeze out the whole piece, it doesn't immediately get absorbed. But it doesn't matter. It's still not a problem. Well, first of all, most people don't squeeze lemon. They just use lemon juice. Even if you're squeezing lemon, I think it's still not a problem of schita, because you're putting it onto the avocado to augment the avocado.
Two questions. One, if you did shinoi seder, I just put the... Would it be better to even just like have the lemon juice in the bottom first and then put the chunks on top of the lemon? Because then you would notice it's not in the bottom.
Yes, it can't hurt to do a shinoi seder. You know,
is,
but I don't know that it's necessary.
Using something like salsa or whatever, which is already chunky.
Salsa and avocado is a salsa and avocado is also tricky because... Now, every salsa is different. Some salsas have a liquid element. Then it's the same as lemon juice.
Right.
Right? Meaning a lot of salsas have like a liquid part and a chunky part, like chunks in liquid.
Right.
So if the chunks are in liquid, then it's like lemon juice. What if you have a more thicker salsa? What I would say is this. If you have a thin salsa, I mean, forgetting about the chunks. If you have a thin salsa, it's like lemon juice. Right? Because there's a liquid in it. Who cares if there's also chunks? If you have a thick salsa... Then I think you could be more makeable because a thick salsa might be like mayonnaise and it won't mix as soon as you put it on. It won't mix until you start mixing it. But I don't know if salsas are really that thick. Like, even if they're thick, it's usually if they have chunky. I don't know. I don't know. It seems to me that salsas are always a little liquidy.
There's always a liquid element to it.
There's always a liquid element to it.
Like the thick ones, there is always a liquid
element. Yeah, so I would say in salsa you should do the same trick as the lemon juice.
I just thought another possibility that what you might have said, but can you make all the avocado, can you mash it up, put all the spices on it, and then that will be like the avocado, and then afterwards, only afterwards, add the lemon juice?
No, it doesn't help.
Is it already a paste?
No, even though the avocado is already a paste, it's still also to add the lemon juice.
It's not considered diluting it?
No, because this is when it was already mixed with something else, like with the liquid. Fully mixed.
Even though it's already a paste?
Yes. This heter, if it was already added liquid, is only if you added something, not if it was just mushed in its own moisture.
So in this case, if you put the lemon juice on the avocado, that wouldn't be considered like the beginning of lush. So you wouldn't be able to add more lemon juice afterwards.
I would say if you put it on chunks, if you put it on mashed up avocado,
right.
Then I would say you could add more lemon juice afterwards. But I don't think it's a useful thing. No one wants to add more lemon juice afterwards. I don't think that actually practically helps you make things.
Yeah, sometimes you want to see
it. Oh, no, I'm saying that doesn't help the basic problem of how to make it on Shabbos.
Okay.
That's what I meant. Meaning, it's not like an eitzah making on Shabbos is mash it and put lemon juice before Shabbos and add more on Shabbos, because then you've made it before Shabbos. But you're right. Let's say you already mix it with lemon juice. And then you want to add a little more lemon juice...
So if you put it on the chunks, you wouldn't...
Right, so if it's already properly mixed, and then you want to add a little more lemon juice, then taka, that would be mucha. Okay, now, the next thing I want to discuss is tchina. Tchina is the poskim seems to assume, tchina, again, how to make tchina, if no one's made tchina, you have to listen to my description. You go to the store and you buy something called tchina golmit. Tchina golmit is pure sesame paste, which is made just of sesame seeds, and it's like the consistency of a very thick batter. Thicker than the consistency of batter. Like the consistency of Israeli peanut butter, if you've ever seen such a thing. That pours, but, you know, globby. It pours, but not easily. Or not smoothly. Anyway, that's pure tchina, and you mix it with water, and that's the basic ingredients in tchina. There's also, like, don't think he puts a real gourmet. I don't think he even puts spices, etc. You decorate it with a little parsley. Okay, let's assume the parsley is not a shiloh of lush because you're just throwing in a few parsleys here and there, and you probably see them all as different objects.
Lemon juice and oil.
What? Some people add other things.
Put lemon juice and oil in it also.
Oh, you do? All right, Beseder, fine. So, now, 2.2 is, what if you have a paste, but not a paste that was already made with solids and liquids, because then that would just be diluting, right? A paste which was not made by mixing solid and liquid. And water. Right, this is what they call trina gomit plus water equals what we call trina, but what proper Israelis call salat trina.
Would Greek yogurt volatile, I guess?
Someone tell me what Greek yogurt is?
It's a thick yogurt. You got thick, pasty sides.
So that might be like trina gomit, except that you don't mix it with water, do you?
No, people like to mix in other things into it. That's like not curious. Just has
to be. Okay, so hold that thought. So when it comes to trina gomit plus water, that is a bit of a machlokes. The shut or letzion says mutter, even though he also did the guacamole. Says the shut or letzion, he says mutter, and it sounds like he thinks that's just not called lush. That's not called lush. If something's already a paste and you're mixing it with water, that's not lush. Lush is to take powder or mushed up solids. Here, it's not really a solid. So he says, mutter, it's just not in the realm of lush. However, most poskim say that it is lush. No, most of them say it is lush. Trina is a chash of lush. And then, how can you make trina? Then, it's very tricky to figure out how you can make trina. The only way to do it would be, do it really the heter, would be do a blila raka and do a shinoi in the order you put things, do a shinoi in the way you mix it. And what I pointed out last time is that the dirishu kosher will yasha, it's much if you make a blila raka with all the shinoyim. What he doesn't point out is that it's almost impossible to do that successfully. Meaning, making tina, if you don't do it the right way, it doesn't come out. It just turns into this like gross thing that you have to throw in the garbage. We did experiments. We tried to make tchina with the shinoi, and it was exceedingly difficult. It's not even worth trying. And tchina is something you could make on Erev Shabbos, and nothing bad happens to it, right? So the problem with tchina is this. A, often, the way to make tchina is to make a blila ava. The right way to make tchina is first you add a little water, make a blila ava. It actually becomes thicker than it started, and then you dilute it slowly and turn it into raka. If you'd like to eat a raka. But A, you usually make a blila ava. And there's really no hetzer to make a blila ava here. B, it's hard. If you do it in the wrong order, it might not come out. Put the ingredients in the wrong order. I know it sounds silly. But it might not come out because the normal way to do it is you add the water little by little. But if you put all the water first and then add the tchina, then it's not the same. And C, if you don't mix it the normal way, it often doesn't come out. Like, if you're not miyamish torif bekoach with a proper kli, like really bekoach, it might not come out. Instead of looking like trina, it'll look like this gross, like water with particles floating in it that's not edible. Yes, anyone want to contradict me? You're allowed to contradict me on the seas.
I've mixed it with like a knife and other things and put all the water in at once. It takes a lot more time, but
okay, Moshe says he can do it.
So the reason that ma'at wouldn't work as a shinoi because that's usually the way it would be a shinoi.
Correct. Number one, that's the usual way to do it. And also, because remember, the Mishnah Berurah said maybe ma'at only works for things that are not bar gibol or for things that are already roasted. And this is not either of them, I don't think. Anyway, lemaisa, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, most Sfarim say, just usher, the dirshu. Bishem Rebel Yashiv says, mutter, if you make blila raka, you put all the water first, and then the trina, and you mix with a shinoi, And in my opinion, I think that's not really a machlokas. Most of this form, we're talking about most people who can't successfully do it that way. And Rabbi Yashi was talking theoretically, if you're very skilled, then you can do it that way. I mean, it's not a law of nature. Probably you could figure out how to do it that way. It's just, it's very, very hard. I'm a decently intelligent person. When it comes to the kitchen, I'm at least, you know, not in the bottom 10%. And I had a lot of people helping me, and we couldn't figure out how to do it. So, Lani is 90. I would say, I think, no machlokas, just depends. No machlokas, it's mutter if you can get it to work. My Eitza Tova to most people is, it's just not worth it, make your tefillin before Shabbos, and why get into this whole issue? I don't think anything bad happens to tefillin if you make it before Shabbos, and then it's a non-issue. Okay, the last thing I wanted to mention is 2.3, and that's the last thing I want to say about Lush, I hope, and that's what some of us are discussing, is the issue, yes? Really?
And then it happens to me all the time.
But in that case, you can for sure add water on Shabbos and do anything but mix it b'koach.
If you cover it, it should be fine, though.
Coverage.
And the kind I buy in the store ready-made, but I guess that
has
preservatives.
Because it has preservatives.
Yeah.
That also.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So, look, yesh ladun, but l'maisa, everyone should figure out if they can get it to work, do experiments, and... you can either follow the psak of Usher or follow the psak of Mutter if you do it in the right way, and I don't think it's not focusing for some. Last thing I want to discuss is mixing two blilos. Right? By paste, I mean mixing two pastes. What if you have two pastes and you want to mix them? That's the discussion, for example, of the Shemir Shabbos Golchasa. Can you have two pasty kind of things, can you mix them? So for example, can you mix lemon and gvina levana, right? Or can you mix lemon and gvina levana, or Greek yogurt and regular yogurt maybe, or fruit, right? You know what fruit is?
Are those considered solids?
No, they're like pastes. They're like blilos of different sorts. Or a froop is... They think they still sell it. It's a kind of yogurt which has the bottom layer yogurt and the top layer is like a fruit paste kind of thing. And you usually mix them. The same would apply to milkies, but you don't usually mix them. Mayonnaise and ketchup. You know. What are other examples he has here? Gvina levana and jam. Right? Gvina levana and jam. Jelly. What's the difference between jam and jelly? Anyone know? I never figured it out. Alright, doesn't matter. Either way. Okay, what about all these kinds of things? Or there are Moshe that I put on the sheet here has a question of cream cheese and cottage cheese. Right? Cream cheese and cottage cheese. I'm not sure why you would mix cream cheese and cottage cheese, but I can't promise you that it's not good. So what about, you're mixing, meaning you're not even mixing a paste with water, you're mixing two different pastes that already have consistency, right? So again, what are some of his examples is jam plus gvina levana, or leaven, right? Gvina levana,
changing the consistency?
Plus leaven. You know what leaven is. Yogurt, fruit, right? Yogurt. What do you add to yogurt? What do people add to yogurt? Fruit. But do people actually ever add jam to yogurt?
Yeah,
yogurt plus jam, which is basically fruit.
Yogurt and cocoa powder.
Also, like, plain yogurt and like vanilla extract.
So cocoa powder, what?
Like vanilla extract.
Yogurt and vanilla extract. That's like adding a liquid to a Adding a liquid to yogurt. That's an interesting question. What is yogurt plus liquid? Now, yogurt might be like some sort of Bleela Rocket type thing, even though it only has one ingredient. And you want to put in some vanilla extract.
So what I find also sometimes is that when the yogurt, when you open it, there's like liquid on top.
Ah.
So you have to put in the liquid into the liquid, and then as part of the liquid in the yogurt, maybe mix it.
That's interesting. Okay, let me think about that for a second. Let me just mention some of these things. The many poskim say that they think this should be mutter, because this is for sure not within the realm of lush, even if tchina is lush, because tchina, really, you're mixing like a paste with water, and you're making it stick together better. Here, you're just stop mixing two things. It's not any special kind of sticking together. Or even, like, you mix, I don't know, what else do you mix jam with? Apparently, people mix jam with all kinds of things. He says, like, you can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, says, in your shops and puzzle by putting peanut butter on one bread, jelly on the other bread, putting them together. But you can't, like, mix the peanut butter and jelly and then schmear it. Because that's lush.
Why are we? It sounds like over here we're saying that there's much more weight to the fact that mixing isn't lush than we did when it comes to avocado.
Because it's not a solid here. Even we're not even starting with a solid. Uh-huh. You're starting with something that's already mixed into a paste consistency. Lamaisa, a lot. Basically, Rav Moshe, he says you're allowed to mix the kinds of cheeses in the Shabbos kitchen. He understands that Rav Moshe says you can mix two pastes. The Chutzani Rav Karelit says, Pasha, you can mix two pastes, that's not Bechlal Lisha. The Orcha Shabbos says, Misvara, he thinks it's Pasha that is Mutter. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Shmir Shabbos Bechasa, say Pasha Pasha.
One of the cases that Amijay mentioned with the water on top of the yogurt falls to the heads that I mentioned earlier, something that's already mixed, with the water, just happens to like rise up.
Yes, I think so. What are the shitas here? Let me just find another color.
Is it a paste because it has liquid before, or is it just because the paste?
See, here, not even all these things are made by... do you make all these things by mixing liquid with solid? I'm not even sure. Like, vinal vana, you probably just make out of doing something to the cheese, no? But Lamaisa says, Rav Moshe... And says the Chutzani of Rav Karelitz, and says always forget if Orcha Shabbos is above or not. Doesn't really matter. Orcha Shabbos Misvara. He's not. He says it should be mutter, just not called lush. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa Aser. So Lamaisa, this is controversial. mayonnaise and ketchup. That's a great one. I should have written that down. I think I said it off hand. Mayo plus ketchup. Right? Isn't that called Russian dressing or something?
Yeah.
Right? Mayo plus ketchup. So what about these things? Made mayo in a very thick salsa, which is really a paste. All these things are controversial. What?
Chrein with mayonnaise.
Pashtus does. Now, some of these things you might be more makel because you have the heter because it's a tavshel. Right? Meaning, chrein is a tavshel. Meaning, I don't know, is it a tavshel? Did they cook? I don't know, did they cook the horseradish or just pickle it? I'm not sure, actually. I take it back. Okay, who knows? Anyway, lemaisa. What? Yeah, I'm not sure. F-sure, it would be the same. Anyway, lemaisa, the Shmir Shabbos class is very machrin. These things, let me just read. You're not allowed to mix gvina levana and dvash. Or another example he says is, you're not allowed to add jam to gvina levana and mix it. Okay, there are many other examples. Also here he says, just an example of, in mixing Bleela Rocket with Bleela Rocket without mentioning example. Oh, here it is. Leaven, to mix leaven or to mix leaven with soft vina levana is only mutter if you do it with all the shinuyim. If you have milky and there's two different parts of the milky, then you're not allowed to mix them unless you do all the shinuyim. So, lemaisa, Shira Shabbos Kachasa says only mutter al yidei shinuy. In most of these cases, we can be matter al yidei shinuy, because it's either Bleela Rocket Or if it's a Belila of, most of these cases, they don't really mix, start mixing as soon as you put them, until you mix them. So therefore, it would be proper to only mix these things, to only mix these things, b'shinoi, and that way you're yotze, all the deos. Certainly those who are making will have a lot to be somechan, but since it's hard to come with a clear hachra here, therefore it's good to mix it with a shinoi, even just with a very small shinoi, like even just using the handle of your spoon or something, just at least some shinoi would be good to be makpidan.
Does one have to be a chavashish about just normally eating a milk?
No, I don't think so. But a fruit, right? How do you mix your fruit on Shabbos? No one here eats fruit.
No, but sometimes you just scoop to the bottom layer.
Right, so I think scooping to the bottom layer is fine. But if you actually mix it, then I think it would be good just the Yosef Shemir Shabbos Kuchasa to mix it with a shinoi. Even if you only use a small shinoi, like the one we didn't really like for Moshe, like using the handle of your spoon, but at least some shinoi.
Rabbi also mentioned that if something is nicker, it's more regular.
What I meant is, if you have big pieces that are visibly separate and distinct, then that's not lisha. If you take big pieces of potato and you mix it with mayonnaise to make potato salad, that's not lisha because it doesn't look like it came together.
So.
But that's not going to apply to any of these things. They're not big pieces.
When Rabbi spoke about a parsley garnish on tchina.
Yes, putting parsley in your tchina, so often people just put, I don't know how people do it, some they just put a little for decoration on top. So then, I don't think that's alisha, because it just clearly looks separate. But if you actually mix it in well, and it becomes one mixture, then I think that is a chash of alisha. Okay. Any other questions about alisha?
Those packages of yogurts that come with little colored sprinkles on top that you pour into it, and you're supposed to mix them into it.
Some of them come with all kinds of snacks on top.
Yeah, little snacks.
Yeah.
The tiny pieces, but they're very...
So some of them come with big pieces, like big chocolate balls or something. I don't think that's lisha, because you really see them all as separate. But what if they have,
the
very...
The color is the liquid. It's a different issue. It would color the yogurt.
No, I have to say there, but since you're not intending to color the yogurt, we're not going to worry about that. Right, we said you don't have to worry about that, if you're not intending to. What if you had, very little things that really, they seem to make one... They're not really recognizably distinct after you mix them. I think that could be a chash of lisha. There's probably no problem with sinas mayim, because I don't think they sink in until you mix them. But I would mix them with a shino. Okay. And now we're ready to move on. Now, we only have one avmalacha left in Sidur Depas, although it is very long. But, as you saw, we're going to get distracted a little. Because Shin Yud Ches is the Simon of Bishul. Now, of course, we'll also have to go back to Reishon and Gibel and the Simonim following that, which is about Shehiyah, Chazara, Atman, etc. But the actual Bishul is pretty much in Simon Shin Yud Ches. But the first two Simon Shin Yud Ches are not really about Bishul. It starts with Vashel B'Shabbos, but that's just coincidence. Because there's an Isser Drabbana called Maisa Shabbos. That's what we call it. Even in the Gemara calls it that. Meaning, if someone was Mechal Shabbos and made something, you're not allowed to use it. That's a knas. There's a shita in the Gemara, there's a reisa, but we pass it's a knas midrabanan. The example of Maisa Shabbos discussed, there's more than one example in the Mishnah about Maisa Shabbos. It's in the Mishnah in Trumos. But the example of Maisa Shabbos that's discussed in the Gemara at greatest length is Mevashel B'Shabbos. If someone cooks on Shabbos, are you allowed to eat it? Even though there's nothing unique about Bishul when it comes to Maisa Shabbos, it just happens to be the example is Mevashel B'Shabbos. They could have used a different example. Someone builds a chair on Shabbos, are you allowed to sit on it? But since the example they use happened to be Mevashel B'Shabbos, therefore the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch stick the halachas of Maisa Shabbos into the Siman of Bishul. Okay, that's just historically how the Isser Maisa Shabbos happened to make it into the Siman of Bishul. So as you notice, the first two Simanim, Seifim of Shin Yud Ches, are about Maisa Shabbos. So and this is very halachal Maisa issues for in the modern world, because there are a lot of people who are either ignorant or worse, or indifferent, ignorant of or indifferent to the halachos of Shabbos. So the
Is it possible even doing something else for Rabbanu on Shabbos?
Yes, as we'll see. Okay, so there's a Mishnah about this, but it is amplified in the Braisa, brought in the Gemara, and Masechta Shabbos, and Masechta Bava Kamma, and Masechta Ksubas, Masechta Chulin. You got it, Zev?
Yeah.
That was non-committal. But okay. So, it brings down a three-way Machlokas Tanoim about what's the halacha if someone cooked on Shabbos. I think the Braisa is quoted here. Yes. Hamavashel Shabbos. The Braisa has three opinions. Rabbi Meir says, Beshogeg Mutter, and Bemezid is Usser. Rabbi Yehuda says, Beshogeg is Mutter Luetzai Shabbos, and Bemezid is Usser Olamis. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Beshogeg is Mutter for him. Is usher for him forever, mutter for others, but Shabbos, and Bemezid is usher for everyone permanently. There's a bit of a machlokes rishonim exactly what these shitas mean.
So let's just examine that.
Here we have Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler. So the mainstream understanding of most Rishonim of the shitas are that Rav Meir says Beshogeg is mutter, and Bemezid is aser l'kuli alma ad motzei Shabbos. Okay, Bemezid is aser for everyone until motzei Shabbos.
What does Rav Yehuda hold?
There's a Masorah Tosfos has that most Rishonim say that Rabbi Meir's Mezid is Rabbi Yehuda's Shogeg, and Rabbi Yehuda's Mezid is Yochanan Sadler's Shogeg. Right? Everyone's just one step up. So he says, even the Shogeg, it's Aser Lukuli Alma on Motzei Shabbos. But Mezid, it's even worse. Aser Lo Liolam V'Lacherim Ad Motzei Shabbos. And Rabbi Yochanan Sadler is even more machron than that. He says, even Bishogeg, it's Aser Loli Olam. He can never eat that. Lacherim Ad Matzei Shabbos. And Bemezid, it's Aser Lekulei Alma Li Olam. He holds, meaning it's Mamish Treif. He holds Matzei Shabbos. Bemezid is just, it's Mamish McDonald's. I shouldn't say that here, that's political. It's Mamish Burger King, and it is, treif. Okay, Rashi in Ksubas and Gittin has a slightly different version. This is Tosfos and Rishonim and Rashi in Bava Kamma and Chulin. There is another shita, which doesn't really call it much the halacha, but I'll mention it, which is the shita of Rashi in Ksubos. And Gittin, we learned Ksubos last year, wasn't it? Last year we learned Ksubos? Okay, so you probably saw what the Marsha and the nice lumbus that the Marsha and the Baal Shita of Gubetzes had to say about where this all comes from and what the basis of it is. We discussed in the Shir here. But he has a slightly different version. he says he doesn't have a Masorah that life.
Rav Meir's mazes, Rav Yehuda Shogeg, and etc.
He says this is mutter, and this is aser lo li'olam, and mutter la'achirim, l'gamrei.
And according to Rav Yehuda,
aser lo ad motzi Shabbos. And mutter la'achirim, here it gets a little controversial, the simple pshat is, this is aser lo li'olam. And also mutter la'achirim,
meaning he really doesn't think that Meir and Yehuda aser it for achirim. And over here, there's no room for a machlokas. Rav Yochanan Sandler is the one Tana who makes it very clear what he says. He says very clearly exactly the difference between lo and achirim. So there is no possibility of machlokas Rav Yochanan Sandler because he expresses his shita very clearly and unambiguously. Not like Rav Meir says, aser mutter. Okay, aser, how aser, to whom aser, etc. And Rav Yehuda says, aser ad motzi Shabbos and aser li'olam. But aser for who ad motzi Shabbos and aser for who li'olam? So if you would go with Rashi and Susan Gittin, then you would get a lot of great kulas for achirim. Meaning if I'm the achirim, I'm not the guy who wins b'chal Shabbos, I'm someone else, then really I'm pretty much home free. Because no one holds like Rav Yochanan Sandler. However, we really ignore Rashi and Susan Gittin. We assume the mainstream pshat is like Tosos, and even Rashi, half of Shas, holds that way. That, according to Rav Meir, the shogeg, no problem at all, but the mazid is usher for everyone to Matzah Shabbos. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shogeg, it's usher for everyone to Matzah Shabbos, and the mazid, it's usher for everyone to Matzah Shabbos, and the fellow himself forever. Let us, now, the question is, which Tana do we paskin like, right? So forget the red, we'll stick with the black. How do we paskin? So, do we pass like Rav Meir or like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Inyan Psak, a lot of Rishonim pass like Rav Meir, which is a nice kula. Okay, I'm not going to throw all the riots from Shas, one way or the other, that Rav was funny, that he darshed like Rabbi Yehuda, pass from some even like Rav Meir. The question is, do we really hold that way? But Lamaisa, the Rif and the Rambam, I'll just mention some. Rif, Rambam, Ramban, Rush, and others passing the kula like Rabbi Meir. However, I meant to say the apostle of Yehuda, Rif, Ramban, Rush, Ramban, the Ode. However, Tosfos and pretty much all the Rishoni Ashkenaz paskin the kula like Rav Meir. Now, anyone want to guess how the Mechaber is going to paskin here? What's his rule? How many pillars does the world stand on? Right, says in Pirkei Avos, right? The world stands on three pillars. What are the three pillars? The Rif, Rambam, and Rush. Okay. The Darshanim will figure out how to tie that into Pirkei Avos. The Rif, Rambam, and Rush are unanimous. That's it. Three of three pillars. Right, Bezin of Gibel, and all Gibel paskined Usser. So, not surprisingly, says the Mechaber, HaMevashel b'Shabbos, Osha Asachim b'Shar B'Lachos, B'mezid Asher Lo Li'olam L'Achir B'Lachos B'Shabbos. He did it b'mezid, he can never eat it, and other people have to wait till after Shabbos. Miyad, right away. We'll get back to the word Miyad. U'v'shogeg Asher Bo Bayon Gam L'Achir B'Erev B'Tur Gam Lo Miyad. And b'shogeg, it's Asher for everyone on Shabbos, and Mutter for everyone on Motzei Shabbos. Okay, the Ramah adds from Arla Akim Asamach Shabbos, Ayin, Le'el, etc. There are slightly different rules by a guy, we're not going to get them now. This is the Psak of the Mechaber. Not surprisingly, he says straight Rav Yehuda. The Ramah doesn't take the Mechaber on here, but who does? The Gra. The Gra says, fine. So the Ramah might not have been Tovea, the Elbo No Shel Chachmei Ashkenaz, but I will. The Gra says, the Mechaber's, maybe he's right for someone else, but he's dead wrong for us at the very least, says the Gra. We pass like right there. This is a big machlokas. What's the nafkamina? Well, one nafkamina is, if a guy cooked b'chal Shabbos b'mezid, and Shabbos is over, can he eat it during the week? Okay. That's not the most common nafkamina in our circles, because usually the guy's machal shops for mezid, he's not necessarily asking the shayla if he can eat it during the week.
And also, like, you know, usually people don't cook on Shabbos and eat during the week, and it's not something that, you know, like, I don't hang around Mechale Shabbos and Mezid long enough to keep track of what they cooked on Shabbos, and if they want to eat it during the week, and then they don't ask my permission. That's not the biggest nafkamina. The biggest nafkamina is B'shogeg Maisa B'chol Yom, that there are some Jews who are Shomrei Shabbos, but they are very, very ignorant of exactly what it means to be Shomer Shabbos, or to all different degrees. Right, Maisa B'chol Yom, there are people who are Mechal Shabbos, B'shogeg, meaning they think they keep Shabbos, but they make a lot of mistakes. And they don't know a lot of halachos. You know, or they thought it was Tuesday, but that's the less common case. But you could also have that. Guy, you know, someone, I don't know, they go to the bathroom, they forget a Shabbos, and they turn on the light, right? Shogeg. So can I use the light? Or, you know, someone just doesn't know the halacha, and they do something else on Shabbos. Can I benefit from it? So, that's a big nafkamina. According to the Mechaber, no. It's also for everyone to watch the Shabbos. According to the Gra, perfectly fine. How does the Mishnah Berurah paskin? How does the Mishnah Berurah paskin? Sock of the, says the Mishnah Berurah. How do we paskin? Like the Mechaber or the Gra? Now again, if you're Sephardi, this might be a little trickier. Right? But let's say for the Ashkenazim amongst us. How do we paskin? Exactly. He says, Lechatchila. Look, the Ramad didn't argue on the Mechaber. The Mogen Avraham didn't argue on the Mechaber. The Taz didn't argue on the Mechaber. You know, it's not like it was just something they did in you know, Ottoman Empire. I mean, there's hundreds of years of Ashkenazim who didn't argue on this Mechaber. So it's not like we can just say it's not our minhag. However, the Gra has a good point here, and therefore says the Mishnah Berurah, at least B'shogeg, he only says B'shogeg, because that's the case that usually comes up. Anyway, says the Mishnah Berurah, this is the Shelo B'shas HaTzorech. However, B'shas HaTzorech, we can be Mako like the Gra. Now again, if you go to someone's house, their Mechal Shabbos b'mezid, then the Gra and the Mechaber aren't going to help you. Either way, it's also for you to benefit all Shabbos, right? If I go to my nan from aunt's house, and she turns on the light in the bathroom, because she's not from and doesn't keep Shabbos, that's b'mezid, and then bane the Gra, bane the Mechaber, it's also for you to benefit all Shabbos. And a monthly Shabbos, I don't need to benefit, I can turn it on myself. So then it's a problem. If I go to my nan from cousin's house, and, you know, she, she cooks me something kosher, whatever it is. You know, she microwaves me something with an OU to feed me on Shabbos. That's amazing. I can't eat it. There's not really any room to be makel there. However, if we're talking about B'shogeg, Orthodox people who just don't know how to keep, or traditional conservative people who think they keep Shabbos, and whose heart is in the right place, or at least mostly, but they don't really know all the halachas, then this is a big nafkamina. B'shas HaTzorech, we can be mekel.
Amazing in this case means something different than what it normally means.
No.
So even by a non-Jew, even not by a non-Jew person's house, they need to eat a kasra and eat him and everything.
No, that's only to kill them. Here, mezid means mezid. Just they did it on purpose, not by accident. Okay. What does by accident mean? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. There are two kinds of accidents. And this is from the Gemara in Shabbos. Right? I don't mean Mezid versus Shogeg like in Maseches Sanhedrin. I mean Mezid versus Shogeg like in Maseches Shabbos, in the seventh parak. If a guy's Mechal Shabbos is Mezid, he can't bring a karbon to get kapara. But if he's Mechal Shabbos is Shogeg, he can bring a karbon to get kapara. Nothing about killing him, just his internal thing. Right? What are the two kinds of Shogeg mentioned in the Gemara in Shabbos? Either you didn't know the halacha that it was Aser, or you didn't know that it was Shabbos. Right? Or maybe you don't know some other random fact. So, I think that would apply here also. Again, if someone, let's say, I mean, this could be a case, right? Someone, they forgot B'Shabbos and they turned the light on, then you could benefit from that light, B'Shas HaTzorech, because of the Gra. Or if someone just didn't know the Halacha, right? They turned on the light with the kosher switch because they thought that the kosher switch was kosher. Not a reasonable thing to think. It's called a kosher switch, right? And there are people who believe everything that they're told. So, just a nice person who believes everything he's told and thinks that you can do all 39 Avos Malacha with the kosher switch, and they turn on the light on Shabbos, then, Shasa Tzorech, I can benefit from it, because it was a shogeg.
Lamaisa, what does it mean to benefit from a light? Does that mean I have to shut my eyes if it's not okay, or get out of the house?
Yeah. Now, again, there is a kind of shraga b'dihara by Mahani. Again, by Goyim, there are more kulas of this. Meaning by Goyim, it's only called, we're more mekel. If a Goy turned on the light, it's only called benefit if I really needed the light. Like I want to read a book and I couldn't have read the book. But over here, it's called benefit just to use the light. Now, of course, shraga b'dihara my Mahani. Meaning, if it's perfectly sunlight and the window's open, then I don't think it's called benefit staying out to turn the light on. But if it's pretty dark, that's called benefit of light. I have to go to another room, or go to another house, or close my eyes. That's called benefit. Okay. The other, so that's one kula. Another kula is, and again, these really are maisim chayom questions that come up really all the time. Another kula is the discussion of the Mishnah Brura, Sifkatan. Someone told me which Sifkatan I mean. Gimel, and also at length in the Bir Halacha, the Rambam himself paskins, right? Says the Rambam, Hamivashal b'Shabbes b'Shogeg, it's also that day for everyone. B'Nezid, it's also that day for everyone, and for the guy who cooked it, it's also forever. Then the Rambam paskins, Hamatil Caleb b'Shabbes, someone who tovels Caleb on Shabbos, which is an Isser Drabanan, because it's like fixing, right? Meaning, we paskin, like if you have something that's not toiveled, right? Silverware, you forgot to tovel. You bought new silverware, you forgot to tovel it before Shabbos. Can't tovel it on Shabbos. That's like fixing it because doesn't work. And then after you tovel it, it works. Midrabanan. That's like fixing it. So if someone tovels Kalim on Shabbos, then Bishogeg is okay, but Bemezid, you shouldn't use them until Matzei Shabbos. All of a sudden, you paskin like Rameir. Why did he do this? So the Bir Halacha, the Bir Halacha suggests, although this explains part of Rambam instead of the other part, basically we're in Gittin Daf Nun Beis. The Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Beis says, you know what Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda argue about B'Shogeg? They argue about the principle called Kansinan Shogeg Atu Mezid. Do we make a Knas on Shogeg because it might lead to Mezid? Meaning everyone agrees there's really no need to make a Knas if someone did a Melach on Shogeg. If they made a mistake, you explain to them, they won't make a mistake again. Why do you need to give a Knas? Why do you need to punish them? The answer is, Kansinan Shogeg Atu Mezid, because we all know people do start Shogeg and end up Mezid, or they pretend to be Shogeg when they're really Mezid, right? They get away with the Shogeg, they start doing it Mezid, right? You ever see, right, it's dark in here. Well, I slipped, boop! There was a light switch among people who don't take Shabbos very seriously. So that's Kansinan Shogeg Atu Mezid. The Gemara there says, there's all kinds of stiras. Basically, it means every case in Shas having nothing to do with Shabbos. That whether they make a kass or something different than Shogeg. And one of the parts of the Shach Vatari that says, by Drabbanan it's different. There we're not so strict to be Kassina Shogeg to Mezid. So, says the Mishnah Brura, look, the Gorn Gittin says by Drabbanan, we don't do Kass Shogeg to Mezid. And the Rambam is Mako like Rav Meir by Drabbanan. Now, the truth is, the Rambam is Mako like Rav Meir by Drabbanan's Mezid too. So it might have just been that he wasn't sure how to paskin, so it was Mako by Drabbanan's Machbar by Drabbanan's. But at least the Mishnah Brura says, we can for sure be makel by drabbanans like Rav Meir, because even the Rambam make like Rav Meir for drabbanans, and maybe the reason is because in drabbanans we don't make such a big knas on shogeg. Maybe we don't even make such a big knas on mezid because we're more makel. So says the Mishnah Brura, based on the Rambam and based on the Gemara Gittin, he says this is shelo b'shas hatzorech b'chilul Shabbos mida oraisa. That's when we're machmer like the mechaber, like the grah. But he thinks everyone might admit if it's b'shas hatzorech, or if it was only a chilul Shabbos midrabanan, even shelo b'shas hatzorech, even if it's not b'shas hatzorech. If it's only chilul Shabbos midrabanan, then everyone agrees we can be makel like Rav Meir. Even the Rambam is makel. Even the Mechaber would be makel. He just didn't happen to discuss that right here, right now. So that's as Mishnah Brura thinks for sure we can be somechan. So sometimes a lot of things people do is they do chilul Shabbos d'rabbanan. If what people do is only now you have to know Hilchos Shabbos to know what's the Rabbanon, what's the Raisa. But if you know your Hilchos Shabbos and you see they only did Hilchos Shabbos Drabbanan, then even if it's not a Shas Tzorach, you can totally lechatchila be mekel thin rechal Shabbos b'shogeg. Such as here, I'm getting into a little hot water. But for example, let's say nowadays a lot of people are more energy efficient and they don't have incandescent light bulbs anymore. They have fluorescent light bulbs nowadays. Even the fluorescent light bulbs are not impressive anymore. People have LED light bulbs. And in a few years, they'll have something new. And then soon enough, we'll just have the light of the Shekhinah on the Beis HaMikdash and the Mos Mashiach. Okay, but meanwhile, so a lot of people have light bulbs that are not heat-producing light bulbs. Those light bulbs might only be Nesha Drabbanan. Simple mainstream shot is that they're only Nesha Drabbanan. Without getting into politics, the Chazanish says anything electric is a Nesha Daraisa to turn it on or off. Everyone else in the world disagrees with them. Okay, I'm not going to get into who's right or wrong, but the mainstream majority sheet is that it's Nesha Drabbanan. Therefore, if someone, Bishogeg, turned on or off an electric appliance, that doesn't do what a 39 was malacha. It doesn't heat a metal coil like an incandescent bulb. It doesn't thresh or cook or knead or write or sew or anything like that. They just turn on a fan. All it does is blow. Or an air conditioner. I don't think air conditioners do any 39 was malacha. They just... I'm not sure exactly what they do. I'm not sure exactly how they work. But somehow they manage to do something that's not what they're doing for love. It's just a stout electrical appliance. Or they turn on an LED bulb. If they did that b'mezid, that's a baya. But if they did it b'shogeg, then if it's only drabbanan, only b'shogeg, even if it's not a big tzorech, so if someone b'shogeg turned on the air conditioner on Shabbos, then even if it's not a big tzorech, you could sit down in the air conditioning. You know, it's not like it's sweltering hot and you need the air conditioner. It's not like you're going to make a fight in your family if you leave the air conditioning. No, it's just nice to have air conditioning. You can still be makel, since it's only drabbanan. If they only did it b'shogeg, then you could be makel, because Mishnah Berurah says that he thinks, really, the mechaber only meant to be machber d'oraisa, but your abundance, you'd be makel. Okay, that's the basic halachos. Now, there's a lot of details. So let us get into some of the details. Yes?
A non-religious Jew,
I think we generally call mezid. Now, it's a little tricky, meaning, what if the non-religious Jew, just he has no idea this is Asar and Shabbos, just because he's not Guri Shabbos at all. So does that make him shogeg? Because he never... Now, first of all, in Israel, the non-religious Jews know as much as a lot of the religious Jews. I mean, they all know electricity is asur. They all know driving is asur. You know, and they don't necessarily know a lot of things that uneducated Orthodox Jews also don't know. They might not actually know that grinding is asur, because they don't know the 39 avos malacha, right? In modern-day society, there are only two avos malacha. Electricity and driving. But it's not going to help so much. They mostly know what Shabbos. But even, let's say, some of the imamish have no idea it's Chol Shabbos. Like, they know you're not supposed to write on Shabbos. But let's say the imamish have no idea that you're not supposed to grind pepper in a pepper mill on Shabbos. Right? One of those little tabletop pepper mills. That, they really don't know is Chol Shabbos. So if someone's Orthodox and they don't know that's Chol Shabbos and they grind it, then that's shogeg. That's a malacha b'shogeg. And then, since it's a malacha d'oraisa, b'shas adchak, you can be mekel. Right? I think grinding pepper with pepper mill is a malacha d'oraisa. Meaning it's not ochlin or anything. It's going to do like karka. It's like all the bad things. But it's la'alter. Let's say they do it not la'alter. Right? La'alter, the Ramah Taka says mutter. No. La'alter, he didn't say as much. I take that back. Even la'alter is also the pepper mill. Because that's a special clue. Okay, so let's say let's say someone's not from... So that's a little tricky. If someone's not from, but they happen to not know this part of Hilchos Shabbos, I know some people want to tell me that's called shogeg, but I don't think it's true. I think it's called mezid. Meaning, if the person says, I don't keep Shabbos, and therefore, I don't care what's asur on Shabbos, I'm not gori Shabbos at all, the fact that they are not a Talmud Chacham, I don't think makes them a shogeg. They're mezid, because they know exactly that it's such thing as Shabbos, and they don't hold from it in their life. So I think that's called a mezid. And therefore, I think that if a non-from Jew does a malacha on Shabbos, bein d'oraisa, bein d'rabbanan, I really don't think there's any room to be makel to be nana for nana on Shabbos. If a Shomer Shabbos Jew, who just, a lot of Shomer Shabbos Jews don't know a lot of things, or they forgot, or they made a mistake, or whatever, then in d'rabbanan there's room to be makel legamre, and even in d'oraisa there's room to be makel b'shas ha-tzorich. Okay, yeah.
What about like a, let's say like not from Jew in America, like is it could be almost like Tinuk Tinishba, would you consider like in the same category?
That's a great question. As we know, there are those who have a lot of kulas on Tinuk Shanishba. And this one, it's hard to have a kula on a Tinuk Shanishba. Lemaisa, the Chilul Shabbos was still bemazed. I don't know. I would not be making on a Tinuk Shanishba on a Tinuk Shanishba either.
Let's say you're at someone's house and they think that you could do anything with a non-Jew and you see them doing things with a not, you know, asking a non-Jew to do certain things. So anything that non-Jew does, you're allowed to benefit from?
Okay, so that's a very, very common thing in a lot of Orthodox circles that people don't know the Nisra Mil Akam. That gets tricky because this, remember what the Ramah said. You have to pay attention to every word in the Ramah. I don't know, I'm not a Bucky, I don't know if you have to pay attention to every word in the Ramah because in the Lomas El Yonim, every letter makes a difference in the Sfiros. But I do know that everything he says for a good logical reason. Says that if you tell a goy to do malacha, you have to look in some Shin Zion. Meaning, if a goy does malacha, there's a completely different set of rules, which in some ways is more machmir and in some ways is more makel than if a Jew does the malacha. So that an entirely different set of rules, which I think is covered in a night seder. But
they're now.
Yes, but they made special rules for a goy who does malacha on Shabbos. Meaning, you say the Jew only did an Isra Rabbanim on Miral Akam. That's true, but once a goy did malacha, that has its own unique set of rules and its own Sugya and Halacha, and therefore it's sometimes you have kulas, sometimes you have chumras, but it's generally a problem. Meaning, if people tell, but it's not a problem, meaning the problem is not because of how evil the person who told the guy to do malacha is. No, he only did it for a bottom of Shogi, fine. The problem is because the guy did malacha for you, they made a special gzeira, not the benefit of a guy doesn't malacha for you. So then you're stuck in many cases, and it's a potential problem. But it all depends on the details, which I can't get into now. Maybe we'll get into some time, or maybe we'll save it for a night seder. I'm pretty sure Amir Lachka was in the night seder curriculum. Although so is Bishel, but okay. Anyway, we'll see. I'm definitely open to suggestions as to what we want to cover, how much. Let me just point out a few. There are some details here. Okay, they're all different levels of details here. Let me just get into some of the details, which are, which have to do with directly interpreting the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. One issue that comes up is the word miyad. Remember how he says miyad? The Mechaber says motzo motzi Shabbos miyad. Why does he say the word miyad? What does the Magen Avraham and everyone explain? That you shouldn't think bechdei sheyasu. Right. So here's one question we want to deal with: is the issue of bechdei sheyasu. Where do we find the concept of bechdei sheyasu? By Amir Lanav Nachri. If you tell a guy to do malacha for you, here's a good. I mean, I'm not going to tell you every single halacha, but I'm only going to tell you true things. All right? I'm going to tell you nothing but the truth, even though I'm not going to tell you the whole truth about Amir Lachem, just because it's too long. Not only if you tell a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos, or if someone else tells a guy to do malacha for you on Shabbos, even if the guy does malacha for you on Shabbos on his own initiative, he does malacha for you on Shabbos, he's just a nice guy, it's still also a benefit from that on Shabbos, and not only that, it's even also to benefit Bechdei Sheyasu until you leave enough time that he could have done it on Matzei Shabbos. Right? So, for example, if you, I'm choosing this example carefully, you drop your suit off at the cleaners on Friday afternoon on your way to shul, and you pick it up Matzei Shabbos on the way home from shul, right? Pay for it in advance, let's say, or you have a tab or whatever, then you can't wear that suit. And it takes them 2 hours to do dry cleaning. I know Yellow really takes you dry cleaning. Then you can't wear that suit till 2 hours after Shabbos has ended. Because they did malacha for you on Shabbos. And even if you didn't tell them to, they did malacha for you on Shabbos. I mean, here you did. and you can't benefit from 2 hours past. The reason is obvious, because once 2 hours passed, you could have told them to do it after Shabbos. That's b'chdei sheyasu.
You also did something wrong in that case, right?
Well, not necessarily, because, for example, what if you dropped it off on a Friday afternoon and didn't tell them you were picking it up on the way home for Shul Matzei Shabbos? You might have dropped it on Friday afternoon and said, I'll pick it up Monday. And then you didn't do anything wrong because you didn't tell them to do it on Shabbos.
So it's not...
Right? And they decided their own to do it on Shabbos because they had time. So then you didn't do anything wrong, but you still can't benefit from it. The reason is obvious, because then you'll end up doing something wrong. A lot of these cases are the same thing, you know.
I'll get questions to this by next day shipping when it comes to like buying something on Amazon and then... Having it, either coming right on Sunday morning or come...
Right, so if you order something on Friday for next day shipping, then you can't. That's on your lockup. And if they next day ship it to you anyway... What?
In terms of, like, how long do you have to wait, let's say, in that situation? Next day shipping, so, like, what...
What's
the actual luck that's done to the item itself? I mean, by the suit, they're cleaning the suit. By shipping, it's going into, like, I don't know, like a plane...
I don't know exactly how they ship it. But Pash, the Gemara talks about a guy who brought you things from outside the Tchum, even before next day shipping. A guy's friend brought you something from a fair outside the Tchum on Shabbos. The Gemara says that that you have to wait till after Shabbos. Okay, that was different. Tchum is a little more mako. But the Gemara says you can't eat it on Shabbos. So here also, this is a big problem. Like, Harry Potter used to be released on Saturday. Right? You remember Harry Potter? Did you grow up with Harry Potter books?
Yeah.
So the books, the official release date was Saturday, which meant if you pre-ordered it, they would ship it to arrive on Saturday. Like, they had it a few days in advance, but they couldn't only ship it to arrive on Saturday. I think it was on Saturday. And what happens when it arrives on Saturday? So Lamaisa, I think you can't read it. You have to wait Bechdei Shiyasu. Okay, it could be in some of these cases, there might... What?
What would be that time frame then?
Till how long it would take them to ship it after Shabbos. How long it would take them to ship it after Shabbos, I don't know where they ship it from, etc. Probably only a couple hours, because they probably have their facilities close to you anyway.
But even like 3 days shipping requires them to do work on Shabbos, right?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, the difference is like whether they expedite it or whether...
No, but I don't think that's true. I think like regular mail and regular 3-day shipping doesn't require anyone to do work on Shabbos.
It just sits there for 2 days and then they're like, oh, now it's the 3rd day, we'll do it.
No, but they could let it sit there. No, they could. If they wanted to, they could. Meaning, it might be more efficient for them to ship it over 3 days and use economies of scale, etc. But... they could let it sit for 2 days and then send it the last day on expedited shipping if they want. So I think that's a case where you tell a guy to do something, and for his own convenience he does it on Shabbos. That's not a problem with Maisa Shabbos, I think we normally assume. I mean, it's a little controversial, but I think we rely on this, that if you tell a guy to go get something for you forgot something in your apartment, and he takes the elevator up and gets it for you, then he could have taken this. If it's on the 30th floor, then you're telling him to. Shabbos, right? But if it's on the 3rd floor, he could have walked. If he decides it's better for him, then I don't think that's a problem.
So I'm saying 3-day shipping is like when it's on the 30th floor where you have to. Like,
no, you don't. It's just they make more money that way.
You have to take the elevator to the 30th floor. It's just easier and quicker.
Okay, I think there's an intuitive difference, but maybe you are just more in shape than I am, so we look at the world differently. But to me, there's an intuitive difference. As a matter of fact, I don't even know how well in shape you are. You can't walk to the 30th floor. I'm maybe a marathon runner, but like I don't think a regular person can walk to the 30th floor.
We have races for the Empire State Building to see if they can run off fastest.
All right, fine. A regular person who is out of shape like me cannot run to the 30th floor. Okay, and anyway. Okay, that's not our... Let's get back to our topic. It says here, Bechdei Shiyasu. What about... So by an akum, it's aser b'chdei shiyasu. Okay, that's just the fact. Aser b'chdei shiyasu. What about? Okay, in some of these cases, maybe you can have kulas. An interesting question. Talk about ribui shiurim. Like, what if they're bringing a lot of books and some of them are not for Jews? All right, we're not going to get into the detail now. What about by a Jew?
do you have to make Bichdei Shiyasu or Miyad? So this is a big machlokes rishonim. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam, Rabbi Yonah, the Rosh of the Ram. And really, it's Tosfos in Beitza. It all starts as a Tosfos in Beitza. And Daf Chavdalet, I think, say, Mutter v'motzei Shabbos miyad. However, Rashi and the Behag and the Ramban say, Aser b'chdei shiyasu. Okay. The more obvious svar is, of course, Rashi. Rashi says, okay, we oppress by a guy, same by a Jew. Why should a Jew be more makeup? So Tosus has two svaras. Tosus points out there are two svaras, and how do we paskin? We paskin, like the opinion of the Rambam and the Rush, that it's mutter miyad, and this is one case where Yisrael is more mekel than goy. If a goy on his own does melacha, I mean, okay, the circumstances are actually a little tricky, whether really more mekel or not, but let's say, at least certainly that's the way it looks, if a Yisrael does melacha, it's mutter b'shabbos miyad. If a goy, I mean, Yisrael bakes a cake on Shabbos, mutter b'shabbos miyad. If a goy does it, then it might be aser b'chdei shiyasu. The you know, whether it actually ends up being more makeup by Yisrael than a guy is a little tricky because the cases might not be very parallel. Meaning, if he cooked for himself, by the guy there's no risk at all. Only if he cooked it for you. If the Jew cooked it for you, maybe it's more machmir. We'll get to it. Okay. Question is why? Why are we more makeup? Why don't we have it? Because it actually makes sense. The whole point of the class is that you shouldn't benefit from Chilul Shabbos. Right? If someone bakes a cake that takes an hour and a half, and you can eat it right away when Shabbos ends, then you benefit from the Chol Shabbos just as much as if you ate it on Shabbos, right? If you eat it right when Shabbos ends, then you're benefiting just as much as eating on Shabbos. You had a cake that you couldn't have had without the Chol Shabbos. So why are we so makel? Yes?
Maybe once a derech, so once a derabbanon, like this
knas. Aha, okay, good. So there are two days in Tosfos why we're makel, and I think it's important to know. Question is why? Why are we makel? So Tosfos has two deyas. One deya is because why are we so machmer by a guy? Because we're afraid what might happen. What habit might people get into that we all know people are in this habit? They might get into the habit of asking the guy all the time. But no one's going to ask a Jew to do malacha for him all the time. Right? No one's going to ask a Jew to do malacha for him all the time. Because again, Amir Lachem is not such a serious people. It's not as big of an isser. It's still a real isser, but people don't even consider it such a big isser at all. People take it lightly. So therefore, he says, "By Amir Lachem, by a guy, by an Akum, right? Shema Yomar Lo Lasos Malacha B'Shabbes. But when it comes to Yisrael, right?" The Vadai Ein Lachshosh Sheyomar Lo Lechalo Shabbos. Again, if we're talking about other people, right? Meaning, if I can eat the cake baked by a guy right when Shabbos ends, I might encourage them to keep baking cakes on Shabbos so I can have them as soon as Shabbos ends. But if a Jew bakes a cake, even if I eat it as soon as Shabbos ends, I'm not going to encourage the Jew to bake a cake on Shabbos. It's ridiculous. Everyone knows you can't encourage a Jew to Lechalo Shabbos. There's a second answer. The second answer is that Akum, it's Shchiach Sheyaseh Melacha B'Shabbos. V'lachein Gazru. They made this extra gzeir on a goy because it's a Shchiach that he'll be Mechal Shabbos. But Yisrael is Milsa Delo Shchicha Sheyachal Shabbos. It's a milsa lo shchicha that a Jew is mechal Shabbos. A Jew mechal Shabbos? Who ever heard of such a thing? I mean, there are criminals out there in the world. But that's not milsa. It's milsa lo shchicha that a Jew mechal Shabbos. And therefore, lo gazru. Okay, on Shabbos itself, it's still usher. But they weren't gozer wait b'chdei shiyasu. The Prima Gadin points out that there's a nafkamina between these two answers of Tosos. Sorry.
The Prima Gadim points out there's an answer, there's a nafkamina between these two answers of Tosos. Says the Prima Gadim, what's the nafkamina? Exactly. What we call, right, someone who's not from Chiloni, right? Nafkamina is Yisrael Mumer, right? Someone who's not from. If we say the reason why they weren't Gozer of Leishiyasu is because you're not going to come to ask him to do Malach on Shabbos, no one will come to ask a non-from Jew to do Malach on Shabbos. I don't think even a regular, not-so-educated person, he would never ask non-from Jews to work on Shabbos. I can't imagine. Even people who are Mekel on Goyim, right? A lot of people we know in our community, their Mekel tell the Goyim to do everything on Shabbos. They would never tell their non-from cousin to turn the light on Shabbos. So in that case, then, it would be Mutter v'Matzei Shabbos Miyad, because we don't have to worry you'll tell your non-from cousin to be Mechal Shabbos. But if it's a matter of whether someone else is a shchicha or lo shchicha, what are you telling me? Someone's not from, of course, a shchicha the Mechal Shabbos. I mean, unfortunately, we don't say no Rabbin, right? It's a very sad thing that nowadays most Jews don't keep Shabbos. The majority of Jews don't keep Shabbos. And at least in America. The majority of Jews, and even in Eretz Yisrael, the majority of Jews are not wholly committed to Shmir Shabbos. Even though in Eretz Yisrael, the majority of Jews keep Shabbos somewhat, but they're not 100% committed to Shmir Shabbos. But in America, probably 80% of Jews in America don't keep Shabbos at all. So how can you call them Moshe Lo Shchicha? Of course it's the Moshe Lo Shchicha. You know, if you're talking about, okay, in Mea Sha'arim, some guy once has this crazy mood, he's Mechal Shabbos, whatever, okay. That's Moshe Lo Shchicha. But in Denver, if a Jew to Mechal Shabbos, of course that's Moshe Lo Shchicha. It's the Moshe Lo Shchicha to be Shomer Shabbos in Denver. So, in which case, it would be Aser Bichdei Sheyasu. So that is a big nafkamina. Nowadays, if you live someplace where you're not from Jews, and they do Malach on Shabbos, can you benefit from it right away? Or can you benefit, or do you have to wait? Bichdei Sheyasu. So, the modern-day poskim are split on this. The Prima Gadim himself does not have a clear maskana. A lot of modern-day poskim are machmer on this. The Minchas Yitzhak and the Shevet Halevi are machmer on this, and they say if a non-from Jew is Mechal Shabbos, you have to wait Bechdei Shiyasu. The Tzitz Eliezer leans towards being Mekel. But Lamaisa, they're, you know, Lamaisa, it's, you know, definitely Kedai to be machmer in this in general. It's probably Kedai not to be encouraging of Chil Shabbos too much. And therefore, a lot of poskim say if it's a non-from Jew should not have more kulas than Amir L'Akum. And therefore, if it's Mechal Shabbos, many poskim say you should wait B'Tei Shiyasu. Okay, there's room to be Megal if you need to. But pashtus is you should wait. Bichdei Shiyasu. Okay, this is when did this come up? This is an interesting question. I just got a WhatsApp the other day that said if you have a kosher establishment, but you pass by right when Shabbos is ending, and you see all the non-firm employees just drove to work and are waiting at the door for them to open the right. Of course, it's a kosher establishment. Mashgiach doesn't let them unlock the door. Can't turn the lights on, can't start business until Seichas Shabbat, until Shabbos ends. But all the non-from employees drove there in order to do their work on Shabbos, to get there exactly when Shabbos ends and when they're allowed to start working. So is it a problem to buy from them right away Motzei Shabbos? You're benefiting from these people driving to work on Shabbos. So, I said, before we get on to another reason why I think it's mutter, I said, at first, it sounds like, well, it sounds like this machlokas, these two days in the Prima Gadim. If these people are not from, do you have to wait Bichdei Shiyasu? I mean, you have to wait till they would drive on Matzah Shabbos, right? Or can you be Nenem? Can you be Nenem Matzah Shabbos Miyad? So I said, at first you might think that's a machlokes between these two days in the Prima Gadim. In the end, I thought it was mutter because of... Why was it mutter?
Wouldn't be telling how you made the product.
You're not
Nene.
Yes, but, because the answer is because you're not Nene from them directly. They just show up and then they're able to do other work. And therefore, since it's not directly connected to their Chol Shabbos, So we assume that that would be okay. So really, that it wasn't coming down to this issue, but it just reminded me of this issue. Okay, now I want to just deal with... we're guys up to in Seder. Right? Raise your hand if you finish Sif Aleph. Okay. Okay, a lot of people are in the middle of Sif Aleph. So you know what? Let's go 2 more minutes. Fine. We'll go 2 more minutes. And I'll just mention one interesting thing. Which is... Zev, I'm sorry, can I ask you to help again? Which is that this whole question of Chdeshiyasu versus Miyad, this is all talking about Achirim, right? If we're not dealing with Achirim, if we're doing the Chil Shabbos amazing for him himself, then it's also the Olam, right? What do you mean? It's not Chdeshiyasu or Miyad, it's also the Olam, right? So let's say God, Bechal Shabbos, he bakes a cake on Shabbos. And then it becomes Baal Tshuva. He can never eat that cake, ever, in his whole life. Okay, that's not a question that comes up all the time, because, you know, it's how often does a guy bake a cake and then become Baal Tshuva before he eats it? Or it's how often does a guy just in a really bad mood, and Mechal Shabbos Bemezid, and bakes a cake, and then gets into a normal mood and decides to keep Shabbos again? It's not a common thing. However, the Magen Avraham brings up a very important issue, which is forget about Bechdeshiyasu, and where does this issue come up, for example? This is a great example. What about, where does this issue come up? The old non-Mahadran milk controversy. What's non-Mahadran about non-Mahadran milk? Anyone? What makes some milk not Mahadran? They milk it on Shabbos. Oh, we mentioned this when we were discussing dust, right? They milk it on Shabbos. So, now hold on a second. What can be so bad about non-Mahadran milk? Taina if they milk it on Shabbos. Right? Now, okay, obviously it's not, you know, we're not happy that they milk it on Shabbos, et cetera, et cetera. But taina if they milk it on Shabbos. And they milk it on Shabbos b'mezid, right? They're just not from at all. So, milk it on Shabbos b'mezid. Let's even assume we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, Aser, for the people who milked it forever, and for everyone else, till Matzei Shabbos. Forget Bechdeshiyasu, not Bechdeshiyasu, right? Meaning, by the time you get the milk, it's well after Bechdeshiyasu. So hold on a second. It should be fine. It should even be Mahadran. Meaning, it's already after Shabbos. It's after Bechdeshiyasu. It could be Machmer, like the Mechuz Yitzchak, etc. What's the problem? It's only Asur L'Olam for the guy who milked it. It's not Asur L'Olam for anyone else. So what's the problem? Right? Now, could it be that just it's pastish? I don't know. But no, there really is a problem. Why? Because of the dion of the Magen Avraham in Sif Katan, sorry. where was it? I apologize. Yes, the end of Sif Katan Beis. Sif Katan Beis is very long, it's different paragraphs, it's got different things. The end of Sif Katan Beis. Where do we see the end of Sif Katan Beis? Did you get this?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Isser L'Olam. Is it ever Isser L'Olam? Isser L'Olam is only B'mezid le mechalal Shabbos atzmo. So we might think Isser L'Olam is a nice theoretical thing on the books, but doesn't really come up much halacha l'maisa. You know, when we come up halacha l'maisa, if someone who's b'mezid baked the cake on Shabbos and then they ask me to pass them the cake on Sunday, I shouldn't because of lufnei iver, because also l'Olam they should have to get the cake themselves. Also, these are not common scenarios. But the Magen Avraham throws in a monkey wrench. Says the Magen Avraham, he says, what about Misha Nisbasho Bishvilo? He says, when you're learning your Deasim and Sadi tests, right, which had, here, just one small different letter, Nisbato, B Hitl is l'chachila. What do we say? If you're batal is l'chachila b'mezid, it's mutter l'achirim, and usher for you. But what do we say there? Mishin is batal b'tshvilo, the person you did it for, is usher li'olam, just like the person who did it. So if you think about it, if I did something, and you want to put a knas on me l'olam, it's not enough to say I can't eat it. Because what if I did it for someone else, and I never planned to eat it? To really have a proper knas, you say, I can't eat it, and whoever you plan to feed it to can't eat it. Then it's a proper knas. Because to give a knas, you have to frustrate the guy's plans. If you let a chayrim eat it, fine. But if I cooked it for Reuven, and you let Reuven eat it, then where's my knas? Right? So, what do we find? We find by... Is it Aser Le'olam Limi Shenit Bashel Bishvilo? Why would that be such a big chumrah? Because if you go back to the kibbutzim, who did they milk the cows for? For the customers, right? For all the customers. They milk the cows for me. They milk the cows for me. Now, the only person who wouldn't have a shayla is, if you're a told us Aaron Chassid, then the thing is, Pasha, you could drink Namahadrin milk. Because the kibbutz that could milk the cow knew that he wasn't milking for the told us Aaron Chassid. The told us Aaron Chassid only drinks Mahadrin milk. So then it's Pasha. Then I think it's Mutter. But if you are, a regular person, then the guy in the kibbutz said, oh, I'm milking it for the regular people who shop in, the regular supermarkets. So you're the one who he milked it for. So maybe it should be Aser Le'olam. That's the discussion of this Magen Avraham. Says the Magen Avraham, Nira Lid Mishas Vashel Shvilo, Have Gam Kein Dino Kamo Hu Atzmo. Whoa, Mishas Vashel Shvilo is like the guy himself. Is Aser Le'olam B'mezid? That's a big chumrah. There's a lot of Chol Shabbos B'mezid Mishas. Meaning it could also be whatever. Like, if your aunt is not from and she bakes you a cake on Shabbos, also, maybe you can never eat the cake. Right? Because Mishin is Bashal B'Shvilo. That's what he says at first. Umihu midivar Rabbi Yosef Shamashma Davka Hasam Hashina Shiva Akum Lavadlo Valhacha Valava Hitzok Lavli Shiyashakum Nisholo Hashina in Mchote Velo. However, says the Magen Avraham, Betchilas devarav, aser. Just like me shenis batel with a test bishvilo. However, says the Magen Avraham, al pi the Beis Yosef, not the Beis Yosef here, the Beis Yosef there. Says the Magen Avraham, al pi the Beis Yosef. He says, hold on a second. I don't think here it's going to be a problem. Here it's not going to be a problem. What's the problem? What are we worried about? What we're worried about is we need to make a knas. Otherwise, he'll keep doing an avera for someone else, right? If I do the avera for you, and you're allowed to eat it, I'll keep doing it. No, what about... Don't we know people don't do averus for other people? People don't do averus for other people. So he says, basically...
What does that mean?
What? It's a klal in the Gemara. I won't get help for you. Meaning, I won't steal to give you money. I won't steal to keep the money myself. Why should I go to hell for your benefit? One thing for my own benefit. It's a klal called Einan Mchote Velo Aleph Lo with a Vav. Someone's not Mchote if it's not for himself. Therefore, says the Magen Avraham that over there, what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is that, what are we worried about? Since there are two things we could be worried about. A, you might ask a goy to do the Isser for you, or B, you might ask a Jew to do the Isser for you. So says the Magen Avraham, he says, Mutter, why? Because there's no chash that you will ask a goy to do it for you,
Because everyone knows that it's Aser B'Tei Shiyasa. Everyone knows if you ask a goy to do Malachat Aser B'Tei Shiyasa, you're not going to ask a goy to do for you. And there's no chash that a Jew will do it for you, meaning if there's a class for himself, because Ein Adam Chote Hilo Lo.
So therefore he says, no chash, bye! Your day at Sadi test, someone is Mavatalus of Chachila. A guy might ask a goy to be Mavatalus of Chachila for him, if you let him benefit. And B, he might even have a Jew be Mavatalus of Chachila for him, because that's not alright. People won't take that seriously. And therefore, everyone will do that for other people. I mean, that's a light Isser. Someone will ask a goy to do it, and I'll even do it for another Jew, because I take it lightly. But Chalal Shabbos? No one's giving me Chalal Shabbos. They might be Chalal Shabbos themselves. No one's giving me Chalal Shabbos for someone else. Misha Nisvashel, no one's giving Chalal Shabbos for someone else. And B, even if someone would be, no one's going to be Chalal for someone else, and therefore there's no problem. There's actually two deis in the Beis Yosef there. Is the main reason for this knas because we're afraid the guy who it was done for will tell a goy to do it, or because we're afraid he'll tell a Jew to do it and the Jew will agree to do it for him? Okay, so he says no problem. Now here this is a little bit questionable, because after all, why is this a little bit questionable?
So why would you care about the knas if you're gonna be mechal Shabbos? If you're gonna ask some, if you're gonna...
No, not really care about the knas. Meaning, let's say I milk the cows on Shabbos, and there's no iser for achirim. So won't that lead me to continue mechal Shabbos for the achirim? No. So I'll say if I can't drink the milk, it's not worth me mechal Shabbos to the achirim. And if I will drink the milk, I'll be mechal Shabbos without the achirim. So like, how does asking for the achirim help? So here you have really two questionable aspects here. One questionable aspect, that same Prima Gadim. One second. Says the Prima Gadim, he says, hold on, Ein Adam Chote V'lo Lo only applies to a from Jew. A from Jew who has temptation will not be Chote V'lo Lo. Meaning, if I'm really tempted, I'm really hungry on Shabbos, I might be tempted to cook myself an egg. But if you're really hungry on Shabbos, I'm not going to cook you an egg. You want an egg, you go to hell. Not me. Right? That makes sense. A from Jew who has a temptation, you understand, you might give in to your own temptation, but you're not giving Chal Shabbos for other people. Therefore, people are really giving Chal Shabbos for themselves. So you made a knas, usher for yourself, forever. No one's giving Chal Shabbos for other people. Like, why would I be tempted to Chal Shabbos for you? That's your problem. And a lot of these other things that people do wrong. You know, sometimes people steal. You know, I really, you know, want those sneakers, so I steal a shoplift from the store. My friend really wants the sneakers, I'm not going to shoplift for him. That's his problem. Ain't on a chote below low. However, says the Prima Gadim, that's talking about from Jews. But if someone's a non-shomer Shabbos, a mummer, a Yisrael mummer, doesn't keep Shabbos anyway, of course it'll chote below low. Then it's a big problem. If we don't put a knas on a chayim, he'll keep doing it, because he doesn't even view it as a chayt. So therefore, there are three possible shitas here. Many poskim say, many poskim say the Tzitz Eliezer here is pretty clear. The old poskim say, no, lo gazru chazal al mi shenis bashel bishvilo klal. They weren't gozer. That's the mascot of the Mishnah Brewer poskins, by the way. I should point out. Mutter Ligamre. Mishnah Brewer just says Pashit Mutter, doesn't even give it such a big discussion. Vafila Mishnah Special Bashvilo. Okay. Mutter even for Mishnah Special Bashvilo. However, the Prima Gadim says, nope. Aser im hamevashel. If the mevashel is a mummer, im hamevashel a mummer, then aser lemi shenit bashel bishvilo. He says, what do you mean? Of course you need the knas. If the guy's not from, of course you need the knas. He's going to keep doing it.
he's going to keep doing it, and you're going to keep benefiting from it, and the only way to stop him from closing shop is to make a knas that he can't give it to other people, and if he can't give it to other people, then it won't be worth it for him to do it anymore.
In this case, the knas is not going to stop him.
It's a little tricky. He'll just sell it to the chilonim, so it's not so pashut, right?
Yeah.
Meaning, it's not so pashut. In this case, we understand why it would apply to Yishol Momer, because really you don't want to benefit from his chil Shabbos. But in this case, you're not benefiting from the chil Shabbos. You could have cooked it yourself after Shabbos, right?
You're not the primary customer. Like, we're just a small aspect of, like, selling to a bunch of people.
That's not true. I think the significant percentage of the customers are Jews or even from Jews. Correct. So that's why it's a little tricky. So he says they were Gozer and Yishol Momer. The famous Shut Ksav Sofer has a pshara. The Shut Ksav Sofer says, he says, look, if Stam, your aunt bakes you a cake, then I'm Makel, you can eat it after Shabbos. Maybe B'chadesh Yasu, but you can eat it after Shabbos. But if it's a company that, a kibbutz that makes milk, or a factory that makes things, he says, first of all, for sure you're supporting them financially. And it's like supporting ongoing Chil Shabbos. And he said, in that case, for sure it has to be usher. Not to mention the fact that every customer they have for sure makes them be Mechal Shabbos. Right? So he says this, the says the Shutzav Sofer, he is Mekel de Chil Shabbos. If it just happens to be your non-from aunt baked you a cake on Shabbos, then you can eat it on Sunday. But he is machmir be'esek kavua. If it's a business of Chilul Shabbos, then no, there has to be a knas. You can't make a business out of Chilul Shabbos and have all the Jews, take off their shtreimlach and finish their melam malka and then go eat from the business that's Chilul Shabbos. That can't be. There has to be a knas. The firm Jews are not going to eat things even all week long that were made b'chol Shabbos. That has to be a knas. You can't be b'chol Shabbos and sell to all the firm Jews. So the Ksav Sofer says it's a business usher, and therefore the milk from the non-firm kibbutzim, they milk on Shabbos. Most factories are not open. I mean, it's not an issue with most things, like the Strauss factories, the ice cream factories, and the hummus factories, and all these things are closed on Shabbos just because it's a weekend. It's a day of rest anyway. Like factories, also, their workers get a day off. But milk is the big thing because the cows don't get a day off, right? So you have to milk them somehow. So either you make them in a halachli mutter way, a halachli usher way, and the kibbutzim that are not from do it in a halachli usher way. So then, according to the Ksav Sofer, that's treif. The gzera applies to olam. It's usher olam. According to the Rambam, for sure it's treif. And, but according to many poskim, it is mutter. Halacha lemaisa. We're really, lemaisa, we're usually not choshish for this prima gadon, to asul the olam. But, it's proper to be macher for the ksav sofer, but, me'ikar hadin, yesh makom lahakel, legamre. So lemaisa, if you have this case, this is where the Mahadra milk controversy comes from. Lemaisa, most of the poskim don't quote this prima gadim, but most of them quote the Ksav Sofer, and therefore, I forget where, one of the Sfarim, they says, even if you don't hold from the Ksav Sofer, it's still properly machra like the Ksav Sofer, because it just seems to be standing on principle. You should have principles. Even if you don't think that's the halacha, you should still have principles. It's sort of like the famous Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, even if it's mutter to use electricity on Shabbos, made by the non-firm electric company, it's a chilul Hashem. Because you're just not, yeah, you don't believe in the principle of Shabbos. Okay, we're not getting into it now, although maybe we should. But let's stick with this. Lemaisa, it's certainly property mark like the Ksav Sofer, and that's why I think it's proper to buy Mahadran milk. Now, just to be fair, in buying non-Mahadran milk, there is another Tzad L'Hakel, which is that it's not all milk on Shabbos. Right, it just might be, and it's just a taroves. So therefore, but non-Mahadran milk, even according to Ksav Sofer, it's not so posh that it's usher. Because, certainly if you buy it once in a while, like maybe you're not buying one that was milked on Shabbos, but it's definitely kedai to buy Mahadran milk because of this Ksav Sofer and Prima Gadim. However, Me'ikra Din, the modern day post-Muslim, Me'ikra Din, you don't have to follow the Ksav Sofer, and therefore, if they don't have Mahadran milk, you could drink non-Mahadran milk. Therefore, you know, if you're, you can drink that, but that's why it gets a non-mahajim hashgacha against the ksav sofer. However, certainly, l'chachila, I would say, it's proper to be machmir for the ksav sofer. Maybe on Sunday when we pick up, I'll spend, you know, a half a minute discussing the electricity, which is a big, famous historical issue in Israel. And I'll explain the Chazon Ish a little better, but we'll continue Mitzvah Shem on Sunday. Okay, so on Sunday we'll finish this issue of Maisa Shabbos, and we'll start issues of actual Mishnah.
Do we find this political, I don't mean political in a bad way, do we find political action done?